Welcome, everyone, to the Building the Board podcast, where we're building the Chicago Bears draft board. We're going position by position. We've done offensive linemen. We've done running back. We've done linebacker. We've done them all, and we're moving on to edge rushers now. So you probably, new host of the show right now. My name is Steve Tizzi. I'm on Twitter at CFC Bears. I'm joined by my buddy Tom Cavanaugh. Follow him on Twitter at TommyKE_NFL Draft, I believe it is. Tommy, how you doing? How are we feeling headed into this podcast?
Oh, I'm feeling great, man. I have done so much work on receivers because there's so many guys to watch, and I really had to shift my focus on just like grinding out these edge rushers. And I'm excited to talk about it, man. I'm excited to get your take.
Yeah, it's a fun position group to talk about. It's always like one of my favorites, like offensive line, like, and edge rushers are my two ones that, because it's just, who doesn't love like seeing just an edge rusher like bend around the corner and taking out a quarterback? Like it's just so much fun. So yeah, really excited to talk about this with you and kind of, we've talked a little bit just on Twitter, like messaging back and forth, but I don't know exactly how you have it ranked. So I'm curious. I'm really curious to hear what your thoughts are. But we're going to jump right into it. We're going to start the way we start every one of these Building the Board podcasts when we do our positional previews. We're going to start with just kind of what the Bears have right now. So as far as I know, I'm pretty sure the Bears only have three edge rushers under contract: Montez Sweat, DeMarcus Walker, if you can consider him an edge rusher, some people might have him inside, and Dominic Robinson. So obviously it's a position that the Bears are going to add to at some point, maybe multiple times this offseason. So Tom, where do you see kind of how the room currently sits?
Yeah, I think it's one of their biggest positional needs, to be honest. I mean, I liked the DeMarcus Walker signing at the time. And then obviously, Montez Sweat, I mean, he's kind of the guy leading the charge in that group. But I always have thought that DeMarcus Walker would be better suited inside, especially like on the valuable downs, like in the pass rushing downs. Like, I don't really think he's given you a whole lot there. So I would feel a lot better if they had a better option as the number two guy. And maybe DeMarcus Walker can kind of rotate around where they need him to be, whether that's on early downs, for against the run on the edge, and then a pass rush down, kick inside. So I definitely think they need a number two guy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, Montez Sweat is obviously a game changer. I mean, Think about how different this offseason would be if we were going into this offseason without Montez Sweat, but plus a second round pick. It'd be like, oh my God, there's no way we're going to be able to address the edge rusher position because we would have DeMarcus Walker and Dominic Robinson. That's it. So it's looking, I mean, yeah, they gave up, they paid him a lot of money, but it's looking like that was an absolute steal, not even considering that what he did in turn around the Bears defense once he arrived. So yeah, having him there in place is obviously a huge game changer because obviously you're looking for impact talent, but you don't necessarily need a superstar D-end. You just need some complementary pieces to build around. And then hopefully you get a guy who eventually turns into a superstar. So with that, kind of now that you're moving on to kind of what you kind of envision the Bears doing in the draft-wise. So like where in the draft do you feel comfortable addressing the edge rusher position?
I think it's really one of those this is kind of a loaded question because it really depends if the Bears have the picks that they currently have heading into draft day. Like they could have a second round pick from a Justin Fields trade if they traded back in the first round. But right now, as it stands, I feel like I'd really be only comfortable taking one at nine because I just feel like it's kind of a top-heavy group. And if you're looking for like a legitimate answer that's like not a developmental guy, kind of like Dominic Robinson, what they already have, you're going to have to take that at nine if you're serious about addressing it through the draft.
Yeah, I agree. It's a position we kind of talked about this before, but if you don't get a guy in the first round, like most likely you're not going to get a premier pass rusher. I mean, there are examples, Max Crosby comes to mind immediately, but like that's rare. That doesn't happen every draft. So if you're not drafting an edge rusher at nine, you're looking at more of a complimentary piece in the second round, third round, wherever you draft them. But that also comes in, brings the free agency into play. It might make them more willing to spend on a Danielle Hunter or, Josh Allen or whatever other pass rusher they want, because signing that premier pass rusher, yeah, you have to give them a lot of money, but it really allows you to be a lot more flexible with that pick nine. If you just sign, a cheap vet to fill a roster spot, then you're almost like you have to draft a director at nine, and that's not a position you want to be in. So yeah, it does seem like they've been connected to Hunter a lot, which would make a lot of sense. Hunter on one side, Sweat on the other. And then maybe, you know, it doesn't rule out drafting an edge rusher at nine. You still could certainly do that because you need three good edge rushers, but it doesn't mean you have to go into the draft saying we're going to draft an edge rusher at nine because we know they have other needs. I think we're both on the same page. We both want them to draft a wide receiver at nine, assuming Odell's receivers are there. So you want to keep that option open. So free agency is going to kind of swing how they run this draft. So, and then with that, so we're gonna go through and talk about all guys. We have a list of about 7-8 guys. But what are the traits you're looking for an Eberflus defensive end?
So I guess my answer would differ from what I'm like personally looking for, what I think Eberflus should be searching for versus like what I think he and this defensive coaching staff will be looking for. It's kind of interesting because I think when most people think of what makes a Matt Eberflus defensive end, you look at Montez Sweat and he's like the poster child, right? Like that regime, I feel like he's come from. They like size, they like length, they like guys that can collapse the pocket, and that's Montez Sweat in a nutshell. However, I think if you look at some of his history with Indianapolis, and then even last year when they signed Yannick Ngakoue, I think there is a place for that like speed rusher bendy type to kind of complement a Montez Sweat, where you don't kind of get redundant and can have more maybe so of like an ace pass rusher who can kind of win in multiple ways, which I know Montez Sweat can. But I think he's known for his power, right? Like that's how he wins as a pass rusher. And they don't really have like a bendy win on the tackles outside shoulder type. So that's what I think they should be looking for. But I think Matt Eberflus is always going to value size and everything like that. So maybe we our views kind of don't align there.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I think, yeah, I want a guy who's, you know, more bendy and can, you know, really run the edge with speed. They don't really have that guy in the roster. And like you said, it's nice to get at that guy who can complement. I mean, we have seen Eberflus and Poles try and get that guy with Ngakoue, who, you know, it came on him a little bit at the end. I don't think he's going to be back, but that type of pass rusher, even a guy when they drafted like Dominic Robinson, he's not, you know, he has length and size, but he's more of, you know, athletic guy. Again, that probably didn't really work out either, most likely. So I could see them going either way. You know, they're clearly going to want, you know, they're not going to be drafting the guy who's 6'1", 240. Like that's right. They're probably not going to do that, but there's an in between there. You can draft the guy who's 6'3", 260 and has good, you know, good bend in there. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, but I do think length is something that they valued on the offensive line. It's something they valued on the defensive line. I think regardless of what it is, length is something that you're going to see them draft when it comes to edge rushers.
Totally agree.
All right. So let's start with the first guy. We're talking about Austin Booker, I believe, right? Austin Booker from Kansas.
I think that's what we're starting off with. You definitely know more about him than I do.
So I'll take this one because this is a guy I've watched a lot of, and I actually just got more Kansas tape, so I'm actually going to watch a little bit more. But he's a guy I really like, and this is a guy who I think right now he's kind of in that late second, early third round. I think once he goes to the combine, he's going to be a solid second rounder, maybe even sneaks into the back out of first round because he's just so athletic. And if we're talking about a guy who's different than what the Bears have, it's Austin Booker. He's like 6'5", 6'6", 240 pounds, so more of a slight narrow frame, but he can bend. He can thread the edge with speed. He's got good length, 34-inch arms. He's really kind of the only thing, you know, he's a total package in terms of athleticism and projection. The big knock on him is that he's only had 1 year of not only 1 year of production, but 1 year of really just playing time. He went to Minnesota. He was at Minnesota previously, didn't play much, transferred to Kansas as a redshirt sophomore, had a great season, and then surprisingly declared for the draft. So 1 year of just playing time, he just doesn't have that many reps to evaluate. But the reps that he does have are, you know, he's beating guys around the edge with speed. He has the bend. He has the length. He has surprising power, too, for a guy who's like 6'6", 240. Like, you wouldn't expect him to play with, you know, much power, but he can convert speed to power. He varies his rush speed to get offensive tackles off balance. And he can set the edge in the run game. And he's, you know, he's going to have to put on 15, 20 pounds in the NFL. It's just the way it is. Like, you're not going to be able to be an edge player at 240 pounds. But if you can get to 250, 255, even 260 down the road, he can be a really productive player. It's just a guy that if you do take, you know, I think year one, he can be like a situational pass rusher, just bring him in on third downs only. But you're hoping to get more than that if you're using a day two pick or potentially a late one on a guy like that. But lot of potential. Like, it's just like, it's very easy to project this guy when you see all the things he has. Like, yeah, he doesn't have a lot of tape to evaluate, but the tape he does have is like, this translates to the next level. So he's really excited. I'm really excited about him. I think, you know, once the combine hits next week, like, he's going to be moving up some boards. I think he's going to blow it up.
Yeah, you know, as a Mizzou alum, I never love to give any credit to any Jayhawks, but at the Senior Bowl, when I was watching, I wasn't obviously down there, but when I was watching one of the practices, the team practice, I was like, dude, this dude, whoever's wearing the Kansas helmet cannot be blocked. Like, they could not block him in the practice. I think it was on day two when I was watching, and I was like, all right, I'm going to have to give this guy a look. He was the one guy I could not get, like, do the deep dive on before we started, so I'm really excited to watch him.
Yeah, I was watching, like, I think I was watching Christian Jones, the Texas offensive tackle, mm-hmm. and I was just watching the Kansas game, had no idea who this guy was. This was, like, months ago. And I was like, who is this number nine? Oh, my God, he's dominating. Like, he was dominating Christian Jones. He was dominating the other side. So I looked him up. I was like, ah, he's a redshirt sophomore 1 year. He's never going to declare this year, but I'm going to follow him away for next year. And he declared. I was like, oh, my God, I got to watch more of this guy. So, yeah, definitely really excited about him.
Yeah, the last thing I'll say, and because this kind of applies to all edge rushers, I feel like edge rusher is like a pretty easy position to scout. Whereas mm-hmm. like the guys in the NFL who are, or I guess the guys from college that translate very well to the NFL were productive and are athletic. Like it's like very set in stone. Like, you have to have both. They're both kind of disqualifying measures. And I think kind of the exceptions to that rule is the guys who are maybe a little rawler and athletic. Like, if they have the traits, like, I think there are there's examples where they can develop, versus guys that were really productive in college and just aren't the athletes to play in the NFL. Like, there's very rarely that scenario working out. Whereas Austin Booker, he might not have a lot of experience, even though he was seemingly, like you said, pretty productive in college. At least he's got the traits. He's got a baseline to work with. Like, I think there's potential there, and I'd way rather bet on those guys than I would the other way around.
That's a really good point. The athleticism, all the top tier pass rushers in the NFL have a 9.5 RAS score higher, mm-hmm. like pretty much across the board. And then with the production thing, he doesn't have like the full body of work, but the 1 year he actually had consistent playing time, he was productive. So I'm actually doing a write up now, and I'm really trying to find why he couldn't get on the field in Minnesota. Like, he played a little bit, but like not a lot. Like, why? This guy's clearly talented, clearly athletic. Why wasn't he seeing the field? Was it just coaching not knowing what they have, or was it something else? And that's what I got to find. So hopefully I have an update on that when I write my profile.
It's very peculiar.
Yeah. But moving on to the next guy, I think it's Braylon Trice from Washington. We started on a high note because I love Austin Booker. We're going on to Braylon Trice, not to get too far ahead of ourselves. But I'll let you take this one and then I'll chime in. Braylon Trice from Washington, what are your thoughts on him?
So I watched, I think, the Oregon game and the USC game, and I was like, how is this – like, no offense. Again, I don't want to be disrespectful, because all these guys, are chasing their dreams and are talented in their own right in a lot of ways. But I watched two games, and I was like, well, why was this guy being talked about in the first-round discussion? I, like, barely saw any wins. He's kind of just trying that bull rush and not really getting home with it. There was, like, no speed rush on his tape whatsoever. And the more I watched – the more I kind of understood. I watched some other games and I thought I saw him win more. I think he can be a decent bull rusher. Like, I think he's like an okay athlete. I think I really, really worry about his ability to win the edge at all. Like, I think he's honestly kind of flexible for being, I do have his measurables in front of me. Give me 1 second. For being 6'4", 274, like, I think he is kind of flexible. Like, he flashes the ability to dip the shoulder, duck under guys. The problem is like, he's not explosive enough to get on a tackle's outside shoulder. So it doesn't really matter. No matter how flexible he is, he's not fast enough to beat them to their spot. And that's kind of his issue. And I think that honestly applies to his bull rush too. Like, you can be as strong as you want, but if you're not explosive to kind of threaten tackles and get them tilted and rocked, it doesn't really matter. So I'm really curious to see how he tests. But other than that, I thought he was kind of just solid everywhere else. Nothing really special. I kind of have like a round 3, round 4 grade on him.
Yeah, that's kind of where I have him too. He was definitely interesting because like, he was getting first round hype for a mm-hmm. while. Yeah. And I know exactly why, because he has like 80 pressures this year and 9 sacks or whatever it was. I don't know exactly what it was. But like, when you see, you just look up a guy, be like, wow, 80 pressures. This guy must be a stud. So he gets moved to the boards, and then people start watching him. He's just been slowly tweaking, working his way down. And the reason he has 80 pressures is because he never comes off the field for Washington. He plays pretty much every snap, and he's got a real high motor. So he's going 100% each snap. So he's going to, you know, he might not win. He doesn't win always immediately, but he'll get to the quarterback eventually if the quarterback's holding the ball. So that's where a lot of his pressures come from. But yeah, I thought he was like very, very stiff. So maybe I have to go back and take a look at him because I didn't see him really threatening the edge much at all, you know, here or there. But I thought he had a decent get off for sure. High motor. The speed, though, like he has a quick first step, but just
and then it just dies out. I was just about to say that. Yep.
Because he has a quick first step, but then it's just nothing after that. So then he just can't threaten the edge. He does have a really nice inside move, I'll say. Which, you know, works in college, but if you're not threatening the edge consistently in the NFL, is that inside move going to work in the NFL? Which it probably won't.
Right.
But yeah, you know, he's a power rusher, can set the edge, can do a lot of things that you want, but he's just not that day one or really even maybe early day two guy that I would want to bet on. I'd much rather go with an Austin Booker who maybe doesn't have the production, but has those athletic traits because you're betting on the ceiling there. Braylon Trice, there's a path for him to be a successful rotational defensive lineman, but that's what you're getting is a best case scenario. You know, there might even be worse than that.
Yeah, my comp for him was like a Derek Barnett. Like, I think that's kind of in the same vein, who had very similar issues. And Steve, I'm right there with you. From the all 22 copies I had of Washington's defense, there was like zero speed rush reps where he was ever able to win the edge. I had to like go through the broadcast and be like, okay, like let me just hammer this out. But yeah, I think he's going to be either like a low tier starter or again, a rotational piece probably would be the best usage for him.
Yeah. And I do think he can set the edge in like the run game. You know, I don't think he was like a great run defender, but he can do that. He's big enough. He's strong enough. So teams will like that. You know,
right.
We can talk about pass rush all we want because we're fans, but teams still value the ability to set the run. And we know Eberflus values stopping the run. So it would not surprise me if Braylon Trice is relatively high on the Bears board. I don't think he's going to be in the top tier, but like in terms of, you know, other guys that we might talk about, you know, or other guys down the board, he might be favored by them. But so I think there's a role for him in the NFL. I just think it's as a third rusher. That's kind of where I put him. I don't see him ever being that second rusher, but he has the motor. He can set the edge. And if you're working hard, teams are going to love that and you're going to get chances. So there is some things to like, but yeah, Derek Barnett feels like a good comp for Trice. Yeah, I think that is actually a very good comp. A guy who had a very has a very successful career, but has never been a top tier pass rusher and just been more of a platoon guy.
Right, totally with you.
All right, moving on to the next guy, Alabama pass rusher Chris Braswell. So I did a write up on this guy. I really liked him. I thought he, you know, I really started watching him when I was watching Dallas Turner, who we'll get to in a minute. And just, he was, you know, I was watching Dallas Turner and the other side was Chris Braswell. And he was just constantly popping off the screen. So then I made a point to kind of go back and look at him, but yeah, he wins, you know, he can win a lot of different ways. He can win with speed. He can win with power. That's probably more his game. He can win with power. He can set the edge. He can stack together pass rush moves. He's pretty advanced for a guy who really only has a couple years of production, but I really liked him. I thought he was, you know, a pretty good pass rusher. I wasn't in love with him, but I liked him, you know, kind of thing. I don't think he's that first round guy, which he's getting kind of some of that hype, but I think a second round pick would be great for him. So what are your thoughts on Braswell?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I do kind of question. So he's listed as 6'3", 255. That's, I think, what he came in at the Senior Bowl. I forgot his arm length, but he looks so much smaller than that. Like, I don't really know if I envision like a full-time starting role for him. I think he's more like, ideally you want him as like a high-end edge three off the bench, first guy off the bench on pass rushing downs. But I think he's a really good pass rusher. Like you said, like he can win with power. He's like, he has that build where like, he's really hard to block because he's so low to the ground that he can kind of get under you and just drive you back. And he's really explosive. He can win with speed. Like you said, he knows what he's doing as a pass rusher. Is he like high end in that regard? I didn't quite see that, but I think like he is either like a low tier edge two that you can have on the field, you know, on like 50, 60% of the snaps. Or ideally, like he's just like one of those pass rush specialists who's like a very high end version of that. I'm not saying this is my comp form, but like similarly how like a Josh Uche is used, I can see a very similar role for Chris Boswell.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I have his, I pulled up his measurements because I was curious. So just over 6'3", 257 pounds, 32 7/8 inch arms. So a little shorter arms than you kind of want, but not a deal breaker there. But yeah.
What did you think about him against the run? That's what I'm curious.
Well, first time I watched him, I thought he was pretty good against the run. And the second time I watched him, he didn't really have like a lot of opportunities, I felt like. I don't know. I kept on going back and forth. Like, is this guy a good run defender? I don't think he's a bad run defender by any means, but I wasn't in love. It's kind of like everything with his game. Like, he's a jack of all trades, master of none. Right. Like, he does everything at a solid level, but nothing at like a really like top tier level. I want to see what I had, because I had a write up on him, and I wanted to see what my comp for him was, and see if I can pull it up real quick. I thought I had a good one.
I was trying to find a comp too.
Oh, actually, you know what? I actually hate this comp.
What was the comp?
It was a little lofty. I have a tendency to be a little bit too positive sometimes. I put Whitney Mercilus, which might be a little high.
I was debating him, honestly. I'm not going to lie. I was debating him. And I was just trying to find a type. Maybe I wasn't like trying to say that he was ever going to reach that, but like an Elvis Dumervil type, right? Like, I feel like there was very similar size, kind of one in the same way as pass rushers, not as run defenders, where they had that like stocky build and they were like really hard to block because they were kind of stocky as pass rushers. Yeah. But again, like, I don't know. I also, when I saw his reps at the Senior Bowl too, like I wasn't that impressed either. But again, like, you only can take so much away from the Senior Bowl. Like, I think you got to do most of it on the tape that you watch. And I think he's definitely like at the very least a high end contributor in your rotation.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the Senior Bowl because Q and I saw him a lot. We were watching offensive line, defensive line, and yeah, he was pretty invisible at the Senior Bowl. It was very disappointing to see because he was a guy I thought was going to come and kind of like make a name for himself because he was kind of in the Dallas Turner. He kind of still is in Dallas Turner's shadow. So I thought he would come and like have a good week, but yeah, he was pretty invisible. So that was tough to see. But I mean, if the Bears do pick up like a second round pick, I would not use a first round pick on him. But if they picked up a second round pick, like, let's say pick, I think the Falcons have 43. Let's say it's 43. I could convince myself that that's a good pick for sure. Because I don't think, you know, as we discussed with the edge rushers, as you get further down the board, you're less and less likely to hit. So I think that would be a good spot for him. As long as you're expecting to get, you know, a third pass rusher, maybe can eventually be like a second pass rusher for your team. But if you keep expectations in check with Chris Braswell, I think you'll have a good time. My worry is that the Bears will draft him at 43 and Bears fans will turn him into Julius Peppers and expect that from him. And then, you know, he'll have one sack in preseason and they'll be like, Chris Braswell's going off this year. And then, yeah, and then he'll be just fine. But if you keep expectations in check, I think Chris Braswell could be a really solid player for the Bears.
Yeah. I'm not against drafting him at whatsoever on day two.
Yeah. All right. Next guy, I'll let you take this guy because as a Mizzou alum, you know, you got to represent. So Darius Robinson from Mizzou, what are your thoughts on him?
So I was like extremely excited to get into his tape because whenever I watch him, like, he always popped out to me, and like on tape, he pops out a lot too. He's such a weird build and like for the edge specifically, because he started mostly his career playing on the interior. And if you look at just his size at face value, it sounds like he's like a three tech. He's 6'5", 296 pounds. Like, that is not usually the build you see on an edge. Like, edge is usually like 250 to 270. So he's like a supersized edge. And he was better this year when he was able to play there full time. So you kind of see that on tape, right? Like, I thought he was like a lot more comfortable there. He wins primarily with strength and power, like heavy hands. Like, he gets into tackle's chest. He has an awesome rip move that I think a lot of his pass rush kind of, and honestly run defense, revolves around him just like engaging in tackle's chest and kind of ripping through to get around them. And to he can work an inside move that way. He can work a bull rush that way. I think a lot of his game centers around that. I think you do worry a little bit, okay, like, how often is this 6'5", 300-pound dude going to be able to win the edge? You see him do it at the college level. I just don't know if he'll be able to do that to NFL tackles. Like, are you going to be able to threaten them with speed? I think he's honestly kind of bendy for his size. And maybe not bendy is the right word, but like, I think he's pretty sturdy. Like, he's hard to push around the pocket. Mm-hmm. Like, reduce angles just by being that big and being hard to move. As a run defender, I mean, he's probably the best, if not the second best run defending edge in this class by my money. I mean, he's like a stone wall in the run game. Edge setter,
yeah.
You know, grip and red, like he's just pulling people down. I don't know. I was a fan, but I don't really see like a high end pass rusher. I see more of like, I'm trying to think of like a tier or a comparison. I don't know. My comparison for him was Kingsley Enagbare. I think they are very similar players, even though the size is a little different, but like a decent edge too, for sure.
Yeah. No, I think that's everything you said was valid concerns about him and the good stuff too. Like, is he going to be able to do that in the NFL? Like, so I have his measurements up here. So 6'5", 286, 34 3/4 inch arms. So almost 35 inch arms, 10.5 inch hands, 84.5 inch wingspan. So like, yeah, just super sized edge. I thought like when I watched him, I was like, okay, he was listed at 6'5", 290 or whatever he was. I was like, he's going to come to the Senior Bowl. He's going to be like 270 because he does not look like a nearly 300 pound guy. Like he's jacked. Like there's zero fat on his body. So I was like, he's going to be about 270 and then it'll be great. But then he came to Senior Bowl at 286 and was absolutely dominant. He dominated the Senior Bowl. But yeah, I kind of have the same concerns that you have. I think I'm probably a little higher. I do think he has, like you said, he's bendy for how big he is. And there's multiple ways to win the edge. Yeah, he's not going to threaten the edge with speed, but with his length, 35 inch arms, like that's how he wins the edge, is with length and power. And if he can get his hands into your chest plate, like he can control the rep from there and get around your edge. I saw like one play that's sticking out is against Georgia, where he just, you know, got his hands onto the guy's chest plate and just won the edge just based on length alone. So I think he can do that. I think he's going to be more of like an odd multiple front guy, yes. Like a team like the Ravens, Patriots, like that's where he's going to be best fit. I don't know if the Bears are going to be like. Well, I think I should rephrase that. I think Matt Eberflus is going to love this guy,
right.
But I don't know if exactly he fits what the Bears really want, you know, out of their defense. Because, but I compared him to Keon White last year, which I know we don't have a lot of. You know, Keon White only played 1 year in the NFL and he was injured, but he was looking pretty good early on in this year for the Patriots. And I think he was a similar size, similar length, kind of similar profile, who's more of a five technique. You know, I think that's but his best role. Could he play the edge on the edge for the Bears? Absolutely. I think he could, but I don't know if that's the best use for him. But I think I really love his tape. Like you said, really good against the run too. Like probably like if not first, then second in the edge category against the run. I think he could be a full-time three technique too if he bulked up, if he had just a little bit of weight. I think he would have no problem doing that as well. So really versatile, a lot to like in his game. I think he is going to go first round, late first round probably, just because we kind of talked about this, you know, you messaged me the other day, like, do we think Darius Robinson is athletic? Like, I do think he's athletic for a guy who's 6'5", 286 pounds. Like, his 40 might be closer to 5 seconds than it is 4.5. But when you're 286 and run a 4.8, like, you can work with that. That's pretty good. So I do think his relative athletic score is going to look pretty good, even if his individual testing numbers don't really blow you away. But just based on his size, like, anything he does at the combine is going to look really impressive. So definitely a guy to kind of keep in mind of, but yeah, I think we're on the same page. I don't know if the Bears are going to be the team that drafts him.
Yeah. I can see them absolutely loving him. Like when you think of Hits principle, like that is him in a nutshell, like plays with his hair on fire, like gritty against the run, like all the want to stuff, like is totally there with them. I'm sure they loved his performance at the Senior Bowl. I probably should have led with that. He was outside of Quinyon Mitchell, the most dominant defensive player, I think, in my opinion. The thing with him too is like it's so interesting. I know we keep talking about his build, but like when you see those like supersized edges, like you look at it like a DeMarcus Walker, like you know that guy's like he's not winning the edge, and like he doesn't move like an edge rusher, but like it looked like Darius Robinson's like filled out, but he's not like I don't know. It looks normal for him to be 6'5". Like he looks like an edge rusher still. You know what I mean? Like
Right. Obviously,
I think he can play in the interior. He kind of. But I was just thinking about this when you were explaining his game, kind of like Calais Campbell in that sense. I feel like I think his best usage, I'm not saying he'll be the next Calais Campbell, but a very similar, like versatile, you want to kind of move him up and down the line of scrimmage, kind of play mismatches with him. I think that's the kind of player he is.
For sure. Yeah, and I think teams are going to value that versatility. Be interesting to see if the Bears did draft him, if they would just want to play him at three technique. But I don't know.
Wouldn't hate it.
But yeah, I really loved Darius Robinson, so I think he's going to be good for someone. I think it's kind of outside the Bears' range.
Yeah. No, I agree.
All right, we can move on. Next up, now we're getting to the top tier of edge rushers. I think we put these guys in our top three. So Leetu Latu from UCLA. Wait.
I'm sorry, we must have missed a guy. Or I'm tweaking.
Chop Robinson.
Chop Robinson. Yeah, unless you have him higher, we can wait. We can wait.
No. We can do Chop Robinson. Let's do Chop Robinson from Penn State. So you clearly want to talk about him, Chop Robinson, Penn State. Tom, you have the floor. What do you got,
dude? So I was a little hesitant, right? Because like he's another one of those people, kind of like a Braylon Trice, not to the degree of Braylon Trice, but who's like fallen down boards. I think people are kind of a little lower on him. He opened up the season as potentially one of the top edge rushing options. And if you look at like his PFF grade, his advanced stuff, like it still was all really good. I think he played hurt this year and didn't play as many games or whatever. But when you watch him, I can see some of the concerns, right? So he's listed as 6'3", 250. That's already undersized, especially if you're talking about the Bears too. That's not really, again, the prototype that they traditionally look for. But again, he has, honestly, in my opinion, is probably the most athletic edge rusher of this group. He has some insane, absolutely insane get off. I think he's bendy, right? Like, I think he can tilt the edge. He's not maybe like a ghost mover. Like, he doesn't duck under a bunch of people, but he can get super low and plant his ankles into the ground and kind of get parallel to the ground and turn the corner that way. Like, I think that's he. And my comp for him was Robert Quinn. Very similar style as Robert Quinn. Again, I don't think he'll ever be like a high end three down player. Like, he's not someone you really want against the run. And he still, I think, needs some work in terms of like the technical aspects of pass rushing. But man, that dude has some traits that will take him far. And I'm always willing to bet on those guys. So I'm a sucker for guys like that. I might be a higher on him than most. He's probably my guy that's like right outside that top tier you just mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked him too. I value power probably a little bit more than I should. So he doesn't really have that. But yeah, from an athleticism, explosiveness standpoint, like isn't a guy probably better in this class. Like that first step, man, he gets onto those tackles in a hurry and like he has no problem getting to the edge, no problem bending around the edge. Like really, and like we talk about athleticism, but like there's a difference between like being like a guy who could just run really fast and being like a quick twitch athlete. And I think that's what Robinson is. Like his quickness just in and out of his cuts, like he doesn't lose any speed when he tries to do an inside move. You know, it's just one step and in. So I think I really struggle with him because I really want to love him. And I kind of just like him, you know, like it's just the explosiveness, everything that you want. He converts speed to power pretty well, too, for a guy who's not, you know, super big. But like if that speed rush doesn't win, he just doesn't have a counter. Like I didn't really see much. Like, yeah, he had a couple like inside moves, but he didn't really use them consistently. But he doesn't really need a whole like bevy of pass rush moves. If he could just develop a consistent, you know, inside move on a guy, like he has enough speed where NFL offensive linemen are going to have to respect that. Like that's how athletic he is. And then if they give him just a step, he should be able to, you know, break inside and get to the quarterback. But he just didn't really do that a lot in college, at least not successfully. Or if he just had like an inside spin move, something to kind of keep offensive linemen off balance. Right now, he's just speed or nothing. But yeah, the comp I had, so I had two comps for him because I did like a ceiling and a likely outcome. And the ceiling I had was a Hassan Reddick, which I don't really love. I kind of like the Robert Quinn comp better, to be honest. But then I put the likely outcome at like a Vic Beasley, because I think Vic Beasley, and I like that is like what he could possibly be, which is not a compliment to Chop Robinson.
Right.
Wasn't very good. But Vic Beasley also had, you know, 9 sacks in 1 year or something like that. He got after the quarterback a little bit, but I think Chop Robinson could also be a Robert Quinn, Hassan Reddick, a guy like that who's undersized, just quick twitch athleticism. And I'm going to say it, like, I also saw a little Micah Parsons to his game. Like, it's easy to do that with the Penn State helmets, but, like, a guy who you can – you know, you rush off the edge, but also put him over the center and just let him win with quickness, like move him around and be creative with him. I'm not saying he's going to be Micah Parsons, because Micah Parsons might be the best pass rusher football, but like there's the quick twitch athleticism like that you see when you see Micah Parsons line up against a guy and he just beats him like so smoothly and so easily. I can see him developing into a guy like that. Not my comparison, but like again, just the quick twitch athleticism. But he's got a long way to go. I feel like there's a lot to like, but there's, you know, he had like under 500 pass rush snaps in his career. Yeah. It was like, I wrote this in my snap, 250 less than like the other top edge rushers. So he just doesn't have a lot of tape to go off of. He had some injury concerns. And if he's going to be, I don't know what he's going to come to at the combine at, like what he was listed, 6'2", 250, something like that. 6'3", 250. Like he's probably going to be what, 6'2", 240. I would guess like it's going to be something probably, like that.
Not as big as he is. But I think he, like the buzz that Nolan Smith generated, even though it didn't end up really mattering, he went like 31st overall, but like the buzz that he generated after the combine were like people lost their minds. Like, how is this edge rusher out here running the 4.3? Like, I think that's in store for Chop Robinson. Like, he's that level of athlete where out of all these guys, maybe Dallas Turner rivals him, and we'll talk about him obviously, but I think he is going to blow the doors off the combine.
Yeah, the other thing about him, he is going to blow the doors off the combine. But yeah, I didn't see much in terms of the run game. He won with like, he would shoot gaps. He's a gap shooter.
He's not an edge setter. That's not his game.
So if, again, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier with what the Bears want. Like, if they really want an edge setter and a guy like Montez Sweat, then Chop Robinson's not going to be even on their board. If they want a guy to complement Montez Sweat and be that speed rusher, like, yeah, they could definitely, you know, go with Robinson. And again, talking about if they have the pick 43, let's just say again, just to use as an example, I don't know if he'll be there. I think he'll probably be gone before that. But if he isn't, I would be all aboard with Chop Robinson there.
That's right where I have him. I have him as like a very early second round grade.
Right. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, I'm glad we talked about him because definitely someone worth talking about. Now we can move on. Unless you have anything else, we can move on to Leo Tulatu from UCLA. Now we're getting into that top tier because I think we haven't really talked this through, but I'm sure we're in agreement that there's a big jump from Chop Robinson to Latu, and then the next guys we're going to talk about. So Leo Tulatu from UCLA, injury concerns, medical red flag at Washington, transferred to UCLA. But man, the guy's just a technician with his hands. Like, I don't know if there's been a pass rusher that I've scouted the last few years that has better feel for the game and feel for pass rushing and use of hands than Latu. Like, I feel confident saying that. I'm trying to rack my brain and I can't really think of anyone. There have been guys who have been good, but I don't know if anyone's been quite on Latu's level. What do you think about Latu?
I was a fan. It's hard not to be a fan. I mean, he's one of the most productive pass rushers, I think, like you said, I've ever scouted, and he just looks like so experienced, or I'm sorry, experienced, probably not the right word. So nuanced already. And you see guys with nuance at the college level that like always rush with the pass rush plan. I think the biggest difference between them and Latu is that his counters are insane. The fact that like he's able to process how to do those counters on the fly, which move is the best when, that's a very rare skill, a very rare skill you don't even really find at the college level that will translate to the NFL right away. I think he's pretty flexible too. He can dip under tackles. He's got no problem doing that. I do worry a little bit about how athletic are you, right? Like, I think at the Senior Bowl when he was going up against Tyler Guyton, who was an NFL level, right, an NFL talent level athlete, you kind of saw that he wasn't as imposing. But I think he's a good enough athlete paired with how nuanced he is to at least be like – a low end edge one in terms of pass rush. As a run defender, I thought he was fine. Didn't really blow me away. He sets the edge. He doesn't really control blocks, but he can set the edge. And he's got the size to do that. So yeah, I mean, I was a fan. I'm just out of all the top guys, I'm curious the most to see how he tests at the combine.
Yeah, 100%. Like, the combine is going to be huge for him for multiple reasons. One is the medical checks. That's going to be the biggest thing for him, because if people don't know, he was medically retired when he was at Washington. He transferred to UCLA.
It was a neck injury.
So there will be teams that don't have him on their board. I know that is 100% fact. We've seen it with with a lot of talented guys who just, they're not even on team sports, and he will be one of those guys, but it just takes one team to draft him. But on the other side, it's going to be also important for him because he needs to prove that he's an NFL level athlete. And I think he is an NFL level athlete. I shouldn't say that. He's definitely an NFL level athlete. He needs to prove that he's an elite athlete.
Yes.
On the same level as some of the other guys we're talking about and some of just the elite pass rushers in football. As I said, pretty much across the board, all the top pass rushers have like a 9.5 RAS score or higher. I don't think he's going to get there. I think he's going to be, but like, can he get to 9? Can he get to a 9? Like there are examples of really good pass rushers who are right around that 9. If he's lower than a 9, if he's an 8.5, like, man, that's going to be, I mean, it's still good. You're still a good athlete, but that takes you from a high-end pass rusher to a pass rusher 2, in my mind, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I don't know if you're taking a pass rusher 2 if that's the ceiling in the top 10.
Yeah, I look at it as like, so I think he kind of reminds me of Jalen Phillips in some ways. Like, again, I don't think he's quite the athlete as Jalen Phillips, but I think he's very like in a similar vein in terms of like high end and lower end is like, okay, are you going to be like more of a BJ Ojulari type where you're like solely a finesse rusher? That's how you win. You're not the best athlete, but you're a good enough athlete to contribute. Or can you be a Jalen Phillips and have maybe more so of a higher end? I think he's somewhere in the middle, right? Like I think he's a lot better of a prospect than BJ Ojulari. He was a lot more productive, but I think they win in similar ways. And that's kind of how I envision it. But again, yeah, I don't really think in terms of explosiveness, more so than the three cone and change of direction and stuff like that. I think he's got decent explosiveness, but I do worry like how high end is it?
Yeah, for sure. I think so. I was just looking at my scouting report. You guys really need to rein me in on these pro comps because I'm going crazy with them. I put his pro comp as Max Crosby, which I see what I was thinking when I wrote that because they win.
I can see that for sure.
Because yeah, I mean, it's very lofty, obviously, because Max Crosby is very good. But the way they use it, they win with their hands. Max Crosby is so great with his hands. It does make a sense from that point. That's just a lofty expectation. But I think if you think about it as play style rather than who I think he's going to be, I think that comp does actually make sense. Because coming out of Eastern Michigan, like Max Crosby, yeah, it was Eastern Michigan. Max Crosby won with just his hands. His hands were so quick, and he was just able to swat away any offensive lineman that he was going up against. And it was like, okay, well, is he going to be, you know, coming from a small school? And then he went to the combine and had like a 9.9 RAS score or whatever it was. And then he got drafted in the fourth round. But so it's a little bit different with Latu because he's going to go in the first round. But the hand use is just so advanced. And you kind of mentioned it with like stacking moves together. Like you can tell when a guy goes into a rep and is like, okay, I'm going to try and win with speed. And if speed doesn't work, I'm going to do a spin move. And if that doesn't work, I'm going to do this. Whereas Latu, he goes in with a plan, but he's able to adjust that plan on the fly. Yes. Like you could just see it. And like, he goes just so fluidly from one route move to the next. At the Senior Bowl, it was like, I forget who was against. I think it might've been Jordan Morgan, who I really like. But he just went from like a long arm, just right into a spin move, like, and just beat him. And it was just so fluid and so smooth. Like that's going to translate to the next level. Like, and then the only thing is the athleticism. Is it going to translate to the next level as a pass rusher 2, or is it going to translate to the next level as a pass rusher 1? We don't know the answer to that yet. The combine, yeah. If there's anyone like these other, like Chop Robinson, yeah, we're talking about him blowing out the combine. Yeah, I probably will, but that's not going to change much for him because anyone who, you know, evaluates prospects knows that Chop Robinson's a good athlete. Latu, we have some question marks with. So if he can just get to that 9 RAS score, it'll be tough not to have him as edge 1 since we don't have the medicals. The medicals change everything, but man, these next three guys we're talking about, you know, are all grouped together, and it's going to be very difficult to kind of differentiate them.
Yeah, I totally agree. I have like basically the same grade on. I have one a little bit above the other two, but for the next guy we'll talk about, I have the same grade on him as I do a Latu. Before we move on from Latu, though,
yeah, go for it.
In terms of a Bears fit, I mean, I can't really see them like turning down or like being against taking a productive pass rusher such as Latu. But in terms of like a physical mold, I don't know if they go that direction. Like, I think I think, again, they're very like into traits. Like that's what this Bears regime, they're not shy about how they love traits, athletic traits. They love athleticism, high athleticism score. And I think they may lean towards the other two. I'm thinking one more so in particular than a lot too, especially at nine. Well, they'll probably have their pick of the litter. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't really, they'd have to trade back maybe, and maybe then Latu would be at play.
Yeah, I agree. We probably should mention, because it's very important to his profile, is the 32 and a half inch arms this year.
Yeah.
So underneath that 30, usually the threshold is about 33 inches. Some people, some teams maybe even go to closer to 34 inches, but so 32 and a half inches, like short arms, but he makes it work. And it's funny because like he's got the short arms, but I didn't, there were times on tape when I was like, yeah, he's got short arms, but it wasn't like all the time. I was like, man, he's just not long enough. Like he was able to use like a long arm stab from time to time. It wasn't like a go-to or anything, but he was able to do it. Like, so, but yeah, I do think from a Bears perspective, I 100% agree with you. These next couple guys we talk about, I think they'll have them higher. Just so I'm clear, you have Latu as your third right now. You're
technically, three. I mean, so him and the next guy we'll talk about, which I guess I'll just go ahead and say, Jared Verse, have literally the same grade for me. I'm waiting for the combine to just bump one or the other up a spot. But they're literally have the same exact grade for me for different reasons. But I don't know if, how familiar you are with Jared Verse. I've actually did a really deep dive on his game, but I think that will, is going to be the Bears' choice. If I had to guess right now, I think he'd be their edge one.
Yeah, I need to watch more of him. I've watched I watched him last year because I thought he was going to declare. I watched a few of his games early this year, but I've not watched his later games this year, and apparently those are much better. But I, it's not like I didn't like him. I liked him a lot, actually. Especially really liked his 2022 tape.
Yes,
I thought it was better than what I saw in 2023. But again, I haven't watched all of his 2023. But I 100% agree with you. I think he would be. He's technically my third right now. Again, not finalized. Technically my third. Latu would be my second. I do think the Bears would prefer Verse for a variety of different reasons: the length, the athleticism, the traits, and the size too, and the ability to set the edge. The like all that it kind of rolled into one. Like he is a really good run defender. So, and I know Eberflus, even if they go with like a you know, kind of a compliment to Montez Sweat, they're not going to draft a guy who's a liability against the run. Like you need to at least be able to hold your own. So they're going to value Verse's ability against the run. And I think Verse was definitely better than Latu. Latu was fine, as we said, but Verse was a legit, against the run. And he's really also really good with his hands. I think that's kind of something that's overlooked with him. People kind of just see him as this like power rusher. And he does win with power, but he also, you know, wins with his hands to get around the edge a lot. Like that's a go-to move for him. So I think he's better kind of technically than people think of him. And yeah, there's just really a lot to like about his game, but again, I still have to watch a little bit more.
Yeah. I think he's the second best technical rusher in this class right behind Latu. Like I think again, that was one of the most underrated parts. I think that's getting talked up because you just look at the size, the length and the explosiveness and you're like, okay, this dude just bull rushes 24/7, which like that, like you said, it's part of his game, but like he's always rushing with the plan. Like so many times when you're watching these games, like you just kind of have to like trudge through guys, just like hand fighting or being stuck to tackles. Like there's so many reps like that. Or that is not the case for Verse at all. Like he's at least trying stuff all the time. Like you said, I think he's the complete package in terms of what I would think Eberflus would look for, like size, athleticism, everything like that. Like that all shows up on tape. I would even go a step further in terms of like the personality. So I know a lot about his background. And I think again, that's also gonna like the Bears are gonna absolutely fall in love with that. So he started off at Albany, transferred to Florida State. But during the COVID year when he was at Albany and like they didn't have a season because that division of football just kind of canceled when COVID happened, he just worked out with his dad at home. Like they built a home gym for him and he just put on like 30 pounds of muscle and got huge. Yeah. He was like 240 or like something like that. Like he was like 240, jumps up to like 265. And you see that on tape. I mean, not only is he winning with speed to power, but like his hands are heavy. Like you see tackles kind of like absorb punches and pop backwards because he's just so damn strong. And like, I think he's got enough bend for a bigger guy. Like he can turn the corner. That's definitely not like not a selling point of his game, but he really aids like reducing those angles by knowing how to use his hands. And I think that will translate to the NFL, maybe not to the degree he did in college, but enough to threaten tackles with that in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm 100%. Like, you can rush with, you know, power all you want, but you need to have a little bit of bend.
Yes.
So we got a question here from Luke. Shout out to Luke O'Grady, my podcast co-host. Edge one. Are you talking about Jared Verse? I think we both have the same edge one, and we'll get to him in a second. Spoiler alert, it's Dallas Turner. It's the only guy we haven't talked about yet. So if you're watching, you probably were able to figure that out. We'll get to Dallas Turner. Anything else you want to add about Jared Verse though, before we move on?
No, that would be it. Again, he's one of those guys. I also think he's going to test really well at the combine. I don't know if he'll do the three cone and the 20 yard shuttle. Like, I don't know if that's going to where he'll shine, but all the explosives, I think he's going to do very well in.
Yeah, I do too. I have one game that just got dropped of his. I'm really excited to watch. So, all right. So then moving on to the last guy on the list, Dallas Turner from Alabama. He's my edge one. Seems like he's your edge one too, based on the order we're going in. A lot to like with Dallas Turner. I said in my draft profile, you're drafting Dallas Turner in the top 10, not for the player he is now, but for the player he will be next year, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. He just has such a projectable game. Like, it's not like your little flashes here and there. Everything about him is just like, okay, that's going to translate to the next level, and that in 2 years is going to be an elite trait of his. Super long arms. I don't know what – we haven't gotten measurements yet, but they're going to be over 34 inches, I would guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know his measurements are. 6'4", 250, I'm guessing he's going to be at. But definitely like a frame that can easily add 10, 15, 20 pounds. Just a lot to like about his game. I thought he won. You know, he's bendy. That's kind of like what everyone thinks about him. And that's kind of what I thought about him kind of going into his tape study. You're just a bendy edge rusher who's going to win athleticism. But he converts speed to power really well. Like, maybe, on you know, more so than some of the other, like definitely more than Latu, probably not more than Verse, but definitely converts speed to power. And when you're only 250 pounds, like, that's tough to do. So he's got a lot of power to his game. Better against the run than he's given credit for. Again, I feel like people have this like preconceived notion that, and maybe it's because I had this before I started watching him, that he's just like a bendy, you know, athletic guy, but he actually sets the edge in the run game really well. High motor, really kind of everything you want. And when you see him, you're just like, it's so easy. Like, you don't have to do mental gymnastics to say this guy's going to be a really good pass rusher in a couple of years. It's just all right there for you to see. So I really liked him. He's my edge one. Tommy, what do you think about him?
I think I second a lot of what you said. So, like, we keep talking about, like, how these guys win, and I really think, like, edge rusher, along with other positions in football, but, like, it's all about having multiple ways you can win. And when it comes to edge rusher in terms of pass rush, it's either, like, the way the best edge rushers in the NFL win is they're either getting around tackles or they're going through you. Like, everyone can hit inside moves, right? Like, that's – tackles can take that away really easily. You have to have one of the two. If you have both – that's why, like, those are the guys who are, like, high-end pass rushers. And like you said, I think Dallas Turner has both. Honestly, I thought he primarily won speed to power, but, like, you saw him being able to bend. Like, he clearly is able to bend. I love his build for his profile. Like, being 6'4 and a little shorter and lower to the ground paired with that length, I feel like those guys are so hard to block because – they can get under you and just forklift you, and there's really nothing you can do about it because they're so low to the ground. And you see that all the time on Dallas Turner's tape. And then the bend, I think he can bend in all different types of ways. Like, the ghost move is in his arsenal. He can kind of, like, tilt the edge and get real low to the ground as well. Like, all that's on display on his tape. I think the one big criticism, I don't know if it's a big one, but the criticism I had left with this game is like, yeah, I think he can add some more moves with his hands and maybe have a better feel of when to deploy a move given certain situations. But I also think I wish he played with a little more urgency. I think there's sometimes where he'll just kind of like look a little lackadaisical out there and like be laid off the ball sometimes, things like that. Just like kind of play with your hair on fire more. But it wasn't like an overlying concern where I'm like, okay, this dude's taking plays off. It just sometimes, like, wasn't giving it his all for whatever reason.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's concerning because it's not like he's a guy who played, like, a million snaps and never came off the field. Like, they were rotating their edges a lot. So it's not like he was tired. and just couldn't, you know, just slough ball. It was just, yeah, kind of, I'm not saying he's lazy, because that's unfair for me to do. It's more just like, you know, he needs to just play with more urgency. That was a perfect way to put it, because he does need to be a little quicker off the ball. He does just, you know, need to do everything with a little bit more urgency.
On the reps he knew when they were going to pass, like there was a couple reps against Oregon or not Oregon against Auburn when like Auburn was trying to come back in the game and he was just able to pin his ears back and let it loose. Some of the best speed rush reps you will ever see. That dude is crazy, yeah. Crazy bendy. And like on plays like where he knew what was coming, I feel like is when you saw him the most urgent, like, okay, these are the money downs. Like I gotta come home here.
Yeah, with Alabama, any Alabama defensive lineman or anything, but where they're always asked to play the run first. So there's a lot of reps where he's looking in the backfield first and then going to getting into his rush. And that's just how what Alabama does. When he did just have a chance to just pin his ears back, like he was unblockable. And he'll be able to do that in the NFL too. So that's going to translate.
Yeah, I hated – I don't mean to go off on Alabama right now, but I had the same criticism was with Will Anderson, how they use – like they don't use those guys as like wide nine rushers, like how they will be used in the NFL. Like they're kind of like head up over the tackle or like just shaded outside of them where they're not really in space. Like you want those explosive guys to have as much room to work with as possible. I feel like that's how you really maximize them. And that really wasn't the case all the time in Alabama. Totally agree with you too. Like him having to play the run first, I think definitely affected some of his rush. I think honestly, you could see him even be more productive. Like, and you said that in the very beginning, like you're not drafting him for what he was at Alabama. You're drafting what he could be in the NFL, given all the different ways he can win.
Yeah. And whoever drafts him, and it might be the Bears. Yeah. Put him on that, you know, 6-7-9 technique, whatever you want to call it, and get him on the outside and just let him pin his ear back and rush. I do think he's going to be, It's weird to say he's going to be more productive in the NFL because he had like 13 sacks this year. Or something like 10, 13, whatever it was. He double digits at least. I do think he's going to be a more productive pro. And he got better at each and every year.
Like yes. He started, and put on, you know, some weight this year too. Like
put I think on some he weight. Definitely up, looked bigger for looked sure.
Bigger for sure. Yeah. He's got like the prettiest speed rush, I think, of all of these guys. Not the prettiest speed rush. But he has the prettiest speed to power rush. Like his long arm is crazy. He's like to the floor. Just like driving like this 300 pounder back. It's very, very exciting stuff when you watch.
Yeah. And we talked a lot about RAS scores on this podcast, and it would surprise me if he doesn't have over a 9.5. It would surprise me if he doesn't have like a 9.9, to be honest. Yes. Like he's going to be up there, and that's exactly what you want. And that is why he's my edge one. And I'm assuming that's a big part of it with you as well, because if you're not a premier athlete, you're not going to be a premier pass rusher. I know I'm kind of being a dead horse now. I've said that a lot, but it's just the truth. So he's going to have that 9.9 RAS score. He's 20 years old, maybe 21. He got better each and every year. He got more productive each and every year. Like the arrow is just pointing way up. And like I'm curious kind of what your comp was for him. I can't remember what my comp was.
I think mine, let me double check.
I remember one comp I had, but it was more of, I did like three comps. I did a ceiling, likely outcome, and then like floor. Hold on, let me pull it up real quick.
Comp for him was D Ford.
Okay.
But I don't know, D Ford didn't really have power nor could defend the run. I thought as a speed rusher, he gave me D Ford vibes. I didn't really have a great comp for him. Because he's a pretty unique player, if I had to say.
Yeah, I actually I found my report, and I have three comps that for him: a ceiling, an average outcome, and a floor. And I actually feel pretty decent about all of these.
Okay,
I'll start with the floor. I have floor as Lorenzo Carter, who was the pass rusher out of Georgia a few years ago, who was just pretty athletic but never put it all together.
Yeah,
average outcome. I actually really like this because they have a similar build. They're going to be drafted in the same range that they were. Leonard Floyd, the Bears draft pick, like a long, lanky pass rusher with athleticism, stout against the run, even though he's only 250 pounds. Like, I think that's I actually really like that comp as like an average outcome. But I have a ceiling as Danielle Hunter, which I don't love, but I like the Leonard Floyd one a lot. So I wanted to mention that.
Yeah, no,
you seem like you don't like any of those comps.
I did not. I was always arguing Bears fans on how good Leonard Floyd was. I hope Dallas Turner, I think Dallas Turner is a bit bendier than Leonard Floyd, okay. But I can see the comp in terms of being a, he's a good run defender. Like that, that's why I don't think he's getting talked about. Like I have no real questions about him against the run. Like he can control blocks and get into to tackles and whatnot. And I think that's very similar to Leonard Floyd. That was never Leonard Floyd's problem. I thought it was the finishing and pass rushing aspect of his game, which I think Turner's already displayed higher end traits, but in terms of like a baseline to work with, I have no problem with that comp.
Okay. Yeah. I think it was that comp did come to me like base more based on like just a guy who's slight, long and slight and a good run defender. And I was like,
So, and that's fair. Okay.
Anything else you want to say about Dallas Turner?
Nothing else, man. I'm curious to hear some sleepers if you got them. Cause I'm looking for this class is tough.
Yeah. I got two. I got two that just mentioned quickly. First one is Clemson edge Xavier Thomas.
Okay.
So he's a guy who I don't know if he's going to be a Bears fit because he's like what? Like he's like 6'1", 240. But really bendy, really athletic, really good technical-wise. The problem with him is he's in his sixth year because he's been injured like three out of the past 5 years or something like that. But the tape is really good. We don't know what the medicals are, but the tape is really good and really bendy. He went to the Shrine Bowl, had a really good week. He's starting to move up boards a little bit. And then the other guy is Solomon Bird from USC. And I should mention that both these guys, I'm like day three guys. Like, I'm not going to say they're like great, you know, pass rushers, but like day three guys who might have, you know, be a situational pass rusher. But Solomon Bird, I was actually just watching him again a little bit more before this podcast. I really liked him. He sets the edge well. He's long. He's a little bit bigger than Thomas. He's about 6'3", 255. I think he was at the Shrine Bowl. Had a sack at the Shrine Bowl, but pretty bendy as well. Good with his arms, good with his hands, really good length to get on the edge, speed rush. I actually really like Solomon Bird. I think he's going to be a guy who could potentially be a more productive pro than he was in college. Obviously, you know, like how bad USC's defense is, you don't want to like draft many of those guys. But I do think he is a guy who's not only draftable, but has some potential. He was a transfer. He went to Wyoming originally, transferred to USC. Really productive at Wyoming. Transferred to UC 2 years ago. Had a not great year last year, but then really came on this year. Had like 40 plus pressures, 9 sacks, something like that. So definitely a guy I'm going to be watching more of. I'm thinking I'm going to do a write-up about him eventually too.
Yeah, I don't really have any other sleepers. I'm curious. I'll have to give those guys a look. I usually like to wait till like after the combine too to see like okay, who tested insanely that I need to get eyes on. But I know some people really like the Western Michigan kid who Q was just talking about before we started the show. I think he's like Rashad Nealand or something like that.
Yeah, Marshawn Nealand. Yeah, he looked good at the Senior Bowl. I haven't found like any Western Michigan all 22, so I have nothing like. I just seen like some broadcast, like a few broadcast angles, but he looked like, you know, a good, you know, another supersized edge, like guy who's going to win with power, set the edge, like that kind of guy. That's what I got, but not a full report, obviously.
If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure he made Dame Brugler's top 50.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I got to get eyes on him. But other than that, man, like there's just not a whole lot. This is not a great edge group. I hate to say it. Yeah. I hate to, you know, be a party pooper. But I feel like there's a lot more hype around last year's group. And I honestly think the high end of this group is probably better than last year's, but there's not as many options you can talk yourself into on day two or not. Like, I think it's a pretty thin group overall.
Yeah, it's definitely top heavy. I think one last thing before we go is just kind of talk about what the Bears are going to do at 9. You know, we have those three pass rushers that I think, not to speak for you, but I think all three of those guys would be at least in play at 9, if not with like a slight trade back. Like, let's say all three of those guys are on the board. You think they would go with Verse? Or do you think – well, let's do it differently because we kind of talked about that. What would you do if you're, you know, you're drafting an edge rusher? What are you doing at 9?
I'm definitely taking Dallas Turner. I think he complements Sweat so well. He gives the Bears something they don't really have, that bendy speed rusher, and then he can obviously rush with power. But most importantly, he's a guy you can play against the run and feel good about on top of him providing something you don't have. So I don't know if that he'll be the first person on their board, like we said, but that's definitely the direction I would go.
It wouldn't shock me if Dallas Turner is actually gone by 9. Mm-hmm. I think once he goes to the combine, I think everyone has like the first top 10 picks all being offense. I think Turner or like one of the corners, but especially Turner, if we're talking edge rushers, is going to go to the combine and blow it up and have 35 inch arms, and someone's going to take a chance in the top 8 picks there. But yeah, if it was me, I'd Turner as well. I would take Turner if all three are available at 9. If Turner's gone for whatever reason, I would definitely trade, and I had to take an edge for whatever reason, if that gun to my head, I would trade back and take whoever of the two was left, I think is what I would do, because I wouldn't value those guys in the top 10, I feel like. But like, if you can get one of those guys in the 12 to 20 range, like, I'd feel really good about that.
I totally agree. But honestly, like, I don't want to keep, we got to wrap it up here shortly, but I would probably try to prioritize this position in free agency. I won't say who I'd go after, but I think that honestly may be the best outcome. And you could maybe focus your draft on the wide receiver position, which we alluded to earlier. That's what we want them to do.
Love that plan. All right. Yeah, you're right. We got to wrap this up. We're already over time. Thank you everyone for listening. Make sure to like, subscribe, share. Make sure to, you know, search Building the Board on Twitter. We're sharing a lot of great videos, articles, podcasts. Click on the hashtag and you'll find all of them. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Again, share, like, I'll do all that stuff. And we'll talk to everyone next time.
Peace out. Now.